The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
All right, well, your story may be similar to mine. Maybe you grew up in a family or in a church that happily celebrated the coming of Christ at Christmas, but maybe you rarely heard much, if anything, about celebrating the season of Advent. Of course, unless it was tied to one of those amazing calendars where the countdown to Christmas was marked by a chocolate for each day. I mean, in fact, if I was to think back to when I was a kid, if I had anything to say at all about Advent, it would have definitely been had something to do with eating mass amounts of chocolate before Christmas arrived. But maybe now you've noticed more and more Christians or more and more churches like ours deliberately, intentionally trying to find a meaningful way to celebrate the Advent season with the lighting of candles, the hanging of wreaths, the reading of devotional guides, the singing of hymns, just as we've done this morning. So my task this morning is to help us slow down and think and consider why that is. What is Advent all about? So this English word, Advent, comes from a Latin word, Adventus, which means coming. So the Advent season begins 4 Sundays before Christmas. If you haven't done the math yet, that's this Sunday. And it goes all the way up to Christmas Eve. And the celebration of Advent involves hopeful expectation. As we identify with God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament, just as we sang earlier, as they awaited the first coming of the Messiah, so we await his second coming in glory. So Advent, then, is a time of both joy as well as anticipation, of assurance as well as hopeful longing. It's a time of promises fulfilled as well as a time of anticipating the promises that are yet to be fulfilled. It's a time of deliverance as well as desperation. It's an acknowledgement that we're living in a time of tension, what some theologians have called the already not yet of the kingdom of God. And the Apostle Paul describes this reality well in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. There he writes, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." So as we look back at these verses from the Apostle Paul, we see that the grace of God has already appeared in the incarnation, in the first coming of Jesus. So Jesus is God's gracious gift to humanity as we continue living in the brokenness of this world. In his first coming, Christ gave himself to redeem us from Satan, sin, and death, and to purify for himself a people called the church who would live and be zealous for good works, who would live for the glory of God, who would shine as lights in the darkness of this world. So through his first coming, God did in fact bring salvation to all who would repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus and follow him as his disciples. And yet, according to these same verses, we're all still waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing or reappearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So yes, he's already established his kingdom, but it's not yet here in its fullness. The kingdom has not yet been consummated. It's not yet here in its completion, but God's people remain here on earth in this time of tension, fighting, struggling, and suffering, still waiting for Christ to come again. But we live in a culture in which waiting is bad. We want our food fast. We want our entertainment to be on demand. And yes, we expect our packages to be here in 2 days, especially this time of year. But Advent is about making the deliberate decision to wait, to feel the waiting, to acknowledge that things are not yet as they ought to be. It is a deliberate decision to reflect on this past year and to feel the financial crunch of job loss, The sting of racial tension, the polarization of American politics, the stress, fatigue, and fear of a global pandemic, failing health and the brevity of life, the loneliness, at least for some of us, of this particular holiday season. But why on earth would we deliberately choose to feel all of that? The answer is this: because we can only desire Christ as much as we understand our great need for Christ. And to remind us that our hope is found in Him and Him alone. And so it's for Him that we wait this time of year. So to that end, let's fix our hearts and minds on the sure hope that we have in Jesus by celebrating the Lord's Supper. In Matthew 26, verse 26, the writer Matthew says this: as they were eating, Jesus and his disciples, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So the Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus himself. It was to commemorate his death on the cross. It symbolizes the new covenant with its promises of a new heart, of a personal, experiential relationship with the triune God, and the promise of complete and total forgiveness of sins. It was also intended to remind us and point us to the fellowship of a redeemed people called the church, gathered at his table, and to anticipate the messianic banquet yet to come when Jesus comes again to right every wrong and to consummate his kingdom. So as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, let's be reminded of the grace we've already received in the first coming of Jesus, but may it also stir within us a longing for the grace that's yet to come. So at the end of your pews, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're invited to observe and celebrate the Lord's Supper. You'll find a pouch with some Lord's Supper packets. If you grab one of those and you pull back the foil on the top, you'll get to the wafer. Again, reminding us of Jesus' broken body on the cross. You're free to take that wafer and eat right now. And when you're done with that, you'll find that there's another lid to peel back. And when you do, you'll get to the juice. And when you drink it, you do so remembering Jesus shed blood on the cross for your sins. So I'll pray for you as we worship together. Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus, of the grace that you've already shown us in his incarnation, how because of his life, death, resurrection, and ascent to your right hand, your people have been redeemed from all lawlessness and instead have been set apart as holy for you, a people of every tribe, tongue, and nation, centered on Christ, living for your glory. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of that family. We ask for grace in the present time as we await the reappearing of Jesus in glory, that you would help us to live in ways that represent Jesus, that honor him as King, and point the world around us to him. We thank you for him, and we worship him this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.